And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. The Predators have won three in a row. Preds insiders in 1 hour. Lindsey Rally will join Ryan Porth. But I don't know what they're going to talk about. What I hope they talk about is whether or not, after the three wins in a row, we can believe in the Predators. Because this time last week, they had just lost to Anaheim, and it was Armageddon, and we did not believe in the Predators. And we had some callers that called in that would say, I think they're going to get it together, Jared. I think they're going to figure it out. I think they're going to go win the cup. And I'm like, okay, caller, you know, that's a very optimistic outlook, but let's be realistic. And then they went and they beat L.A., and Floyd told me I wasn't allowed to celebrate the win over L.A., but I did. I did. That was a good win because they needed it. Then they beat San Jose, and Floyd's restrictions on celebrating wins went out the door once they beat San Jose. You were all about that win.
Yeah.
Then they won last night against Toronto. Now they got Pittsburgh and Winnipeg coming up. Floyd, I know it's only three games, but how do we feel about their three-game win streak and the two in a row over the playoff teams?
Well, I mean, we love it. We're excited about it. I think it's, it's hopefully it's an introduction to things to come. And we talked about this a little bit. But, I think in my mind, there's another three or four games here against playoff caliber teams. I mean, it's Pittsburgh next. And then I think it's Pittsburgh in a week and a half or 2 weeks or whenever it is. It's coming up. And I think if we get through that section and feel good about the feel the way we feel about this team today, then I think we're on our way.
I think we're good. Adam Vingan was asked on the morning show today about when will he believe in the Predators. This is what Adam Vingan said.
I think you need to see it at least for two more games. I think if they can play like this against Pittsburgh, who is playing as they typically do at this point of the season, the Penguins are following their usual trajectory where they struggle at some point in the middle of the season and everybody wonders, is this the end of the Penguins as we know them? And then they always turn it on when it counts. And that's what they've been doing right now, even though they did lose last night to the Carolina Hurricanes. But if they win on Thursday, and especially Saturday, if they can win in Winnipeg, which they have struggled to do, and they have struggled against the Jets in general, I feel like the last couple of times they've seen them, if they can win these two next two games, then I think you can come onto the air on Monday morning and feel confident that this team seems to have righted the ship.
So there you go. Adam says if they win the next two, then you can believe. And I got to be honest with you. I'm with you, Floyd. I mean, I think this is a two-week process or a two-and-a-half-week process of playoff teams. San Jose, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Pittsburgh. And so you're talking about 2.5 weeks and you're only through, you know, the first fourth of it or something like that before you can get too excited. But I also agree with Adam. I mean, if they win tomorrow night against Pittsburgh and then they beat Winnipeg Saturday night in Winnipeg, then I think you can believe. Then it's four in a row against playoff teams, including the big bad Winnipeg Jets. And I think that's probably what's got to happen. The thing I keep trying to take away is this time last year down the stretch, they had a handful of games against the Jets, and they won all of them except for one, which they lost in a shootout in Winnipeg, and Saros started that game. And so the Predators took care of business against Winnipeg when it came to the regular season games, but how much did that matter when they got into the playoffs? And the answer was not at all. So here you are right now. The win over Toronto last night means nothing as far as a win in the playoffs is concerned, except I kind of feel like it means everything because it's them playing the way that we know they're capable of playing. The standard in which they have set for themselves, they hit it last night. They've hit it the last two nights. They've won three in a row, and if they keep hitting that standard every night the rest of the way, then you got to feel great about them going into the playoffs, and that's just the way I feel. So
the rest of the way, I would agree.
No, they're not going to play that way every night, though.
Okay. So, So where are we? We're right back where we started.
Titans, the Titans aren't going to play great 16 games next year. They may be 14-2.
Well, see,
but there's
going to
be two games where they don't
play
great.
If we win these two and we lose the next two and then we win the two after that, I mean, we're right back where we started. So all the talk about playoff momentum is just not there. Now, does that mean we can't win in the playoffs? Absolutely not. But, I mean, if you're looking for the playoff momentum and how it's going to, you know, vault you into the playoffs, you're not going to do it with up and down, up and down.
Well, if you win the next two, though, doesn't that, like, to me, you can win the next two and then lose out, and you'll still probably make the playoffs. And I think you can still harp back on these five games or four. Yeah, these, well, four games.
I don't know.
Take LA out of there. We can look back at the four games and when you get into the playoffs and say, hey, they're fine. They're battle tested. They beat San Jose. They beat Toronto.
That's too far away.
They beat Pittsburgh.
Too far away.
They beat Winnipeg.
Too far away.
There's only two more weeks of the season after this week.
That's it. Two more weeks. 2 weeks. I mean, you're not talking about tomorrow. I mean, 2 weeks. So, I mean, in my mind, that's me. That's just me. I mean, I need to see it. That's why I picked that. Because when you get to the last three, whoever the last three are, they're, you know, Chicago and whoever, people that you're not that concerned about, don't really
Vancouver.
Care one way or the other, whoever it is. And so you say, okay, blow those guys off. But this, to actually get on the momentum in a playoff caliber setting, I think that's what this is. That's the great part about these last few games.
So how do you feel about the team after their three-game win streak? And compare it with how you felt about the team 1 week ago today after the Anaheim loss and how you feel now that they've got three in a row in their pocket and they've got San Jose and Toronto convincing wins against both teams in their pockets.
Yeah, I mean, you have to feel great. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, the win against L.A. to me is, you know, fine.
You had to have it.
Yeah.
But
you get the 2 points and you're happy about that. These last two wins are legitimate wins against playoff caliber teams. And I think it's a giant step in the right direction. And I think you have to feel really, really good about it. Now for a couple of weeks here, we need to build on that. And that doesn't mean that you have to go out and win every game 6-0. I'm not saying that. But I think you need to, whatever it is you liked about what you did in these two games, needs to pick up, you know, a half a notch the next game and then a half a notch after that. And, you know, so that by the time you get to those last couple of games, like I said, it's, you know, you can play anybody. You can just kind of say, okay, we're going to chill here for a second.
Does the team need these wins this week to build the confidence going into the playoffs? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer to that either.
But I'm concerned because every time you start to feel good about the Predators, they go out there and they kind of throw out an egg. And this team is very Titans-like. And I have compared this team to the Mike Mularkey 9-7 Titans. Now, I'd say the Mike Mularkey 9-7 Titans didn't have a game or a stretch like they've had these last two games towards the end of the season. But again, there's a part of me that thinks the Preds are going to feel confident in themselves. They're not going to have the same mental preparedness that they've had before the San Jose and the Toronto game. And then all of a sudden, Jake Guentzel has three goals tomorrow night and you lose. And it's like you would lose all the momentum from the winning streak if that were to happen. I feel very, very good about the Predators and their three-game winning streak. I'm just torn between what it means. Because there is a part of me that started the show today that believes that they have officially turned the corner. That says, they are in it to win it. They are down the stretch. Here they come. They are turning that corner. And then there's a part of me that says, you know, maybe they just have a couple good games. And then they go right back to the team that made me throw a chair in my living room last Tuesday night when they played Anaheim. And I don't know if they'll ever be able to shake that unless they, you know, win out the rest of the way, which is, it's not worth asking.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's why, in my mind, we're not asking them to do that, or I'm not asking them to do that. And I'm not even asking them to win, even though we know that they want to and mm-hmm. we need to. But I just want to see the performance. You know, give me the performance. Show me you can build off of what you did last night. Show me you can build off of what you're going to do, you know, in the next game. And I think if you can do that, then I think you can go into the playoffs with great confidence, because there'll be people that will be saying, you know what, you're playing better than any team in the league. You know what, you're playing a lot better than so-and-so, whatever team you want to talk about. And there, I think there comes the confidence. You know, they're not going to be saying, well, you know what, you guys played great, but then you lost one, and now you suck. I mean, I don't think that's the way it works.
So here we go. Let's take your phones. Let's take your calls. And the question is this. How do you feel about the Predators' three-game win streak with wins over two playoff teams? How do you know that they're turning the corner for good? How do you feel about this team? And we're right to your phone, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, plus what David Poile had to say about how he feels about his team. We'll get to that. And when do you know it's for real with this team? And that it's not just a tease. When do you know it's for real? We'll discuss. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Really feel good after the San Jose game. That was our best game in a long time. You know, as we've discussed on the show the last, you know, few weeks here, it's just been some inconsistencies. But, you know, not that I want to compare us to anybody else, but I noticed in the last 10 games we've been 500. St. Louis has been 500, and Winnipeg has been 500. All teams that are trying to get to the first spot in our division. So, again, the games are tough. The games are important. It's so close in the standings. But I was really happy with how we played in San Jose. It just seemed like a much better team game. Fewer mistakes. I think in a lot of games we're actually playing pretty good in large segments of the games. But we've made the big faux pas, if you will, and you know, turn the game around usually for the other team, which has been kind of unfortunate.
That was David Poile, so he feels good. He says, you know, it's just like one thing can cost you a Stanley Cup. I mean, that's the one part about that. Now, he feels good after the San Jose game. I can't blame him. Floyd, do you have a thought, or do you want to go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones.
Phones we go. Crockett is up next on the Pred, 615-737-1025. What's up, Crockett?
What's up, gentlemen? We have finally woke up. I have been watching these games all season long, and, man, they've been dragging games. I cannot believe they finally woke up. Two new guys score. What do you guys think about that? And I'll hang up.
Thank you. I would say Brian Boyle has been scoring. Brian Boyle has, just the way that it was sold to me what Brian Boyle was going to come in and do, Brian Boyle has been more than I thought he was going to be when they acquired him before the deadline even approached.
He's hit the ground running. There's no doubt about that now.
He is a good player.
Yeah, he's done just about everything. I mean, I can remember the first night he was on the ice, and we were talking about, look at him in front of the net, like it was some kind of a mirage or something. So,
what'd you think of Simmons last night? Simmons gets the goal.
You know what? We wanted those young guys to come along, or the new guys to come along, and I think they did that. You know, so I mean, it's a giant plus. It's gonna, and we've been talking about rounding into form. I mean, these extra few games right through here that we're talking about, how important they're going to be, I think will be really important to those guys. If for no other reason, they get a feel of how this team plays when they're playing another playoff caliber team, you know, so they understand it. Not that there can be a giant difference between other teams, but there's certainly a giant difference in the scheme and who you're playing with.
So here's my thing. You know who's been involved in a lot of these goals? Craig Smith. Craig Smith, since he's come back from injury, and I have been very hard on Craig Smith over the last, I don't know what, 4 years, 3 years. I mean, I have been tough on Craig Smith. And I'm still not sold Smith's game translates to the playoffs. But Smith has been, he was a factor in two of the goals against LA. He was a factor in two of the goals against San Jose. He was a factor in the Boyle goal last night. And this is my thing on the secondary scoring. I just want secondary scoring. I don't care who it comes from. If it comes from Mikael Granlund, fine. If it comes from Freddie Gaudreau, fine. I don't care. I just want some of it. And they weren't getting any of that for a while, and it was all the main guys. And now that you can go to L.A. and you can have Sissons and Smith score, and then Sissons scores again against San Jose, and then Boyle and Simmons score, and then you hope tomorrow, you know, that it's Ellis gets you one, and Sissons gets you one, and Yarncroke gets you one. Like, that's what this team needs. That's when this team is at their best, is when they're getting the contributions from all of the different guys across the different lines and even guys in the back end, when it's not just Yossi, Arvidsson, Forsberg, or Johansson. When it's outside of those four, I feel good about it. And they're starting to get some of that.
And I think the team counts on that. You know, they've been counting on that kind of stuff for a while, and that's why they've built such great depth. And hopefully, you know, put together four lines that are all going to be productive, because they need that secondary scoring from guys down the line a little bit.
Do you think that Kyle Turris is going to be an issue on the fourth line? You know, we played the David Poile clip. We had the quote from Adam Vingan earlier in the week where Adam Vingan had the quote from Turris where Turris talked about how he thinks he can help the team. He just needs to play his game, which I thought was kind of a shot at the coach. And then you heard what David Poile said about Kyle Turris when he said something along the lines of, you know, he probably disagrees with how we feel about the way he's been playing. So do you believe that that's going to be an issue going forward if he's stuck on that fourth line? Because to me, I'm not messing with my lines right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things you're going to have a conversation about. Now, and again, I'm just judging from what I hear. I have absolutely no information inside, and you know, it's not like I know what's going on. But I think that is something, because they do want him back. They do need him back, and he can help. Now, if it's gone so far that, you know, that's not going to happen, you can't retrieve him, then you've got to go to plan B, whatever that's going to be, because it's not, you know, it's not one of those things that you can live very long with.
But what is plan B?
I have no idea.
He makes $6 million a year.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed. What's the going rate on the trade market for a $6 million a year guy that's on the fourth line that doesn't
benched,
want to be on
the
fourth line?
Not very good.
I mean, this is where Kyle Turris, and again, I don't know the lengths of the discussion that they've had because they won't talk about it, but David Poile, if we can get that clip, David Poile was talking about Kyle Turris on the midday show, and he points out that they weren't kind of seeing eye to eye as far as his benching. This was Poile yesterday.
We know Kyle Turris is a good player. Looks like he's going to get a chance to get back in there tonight, and hopefully he'll move in the right direction here and get back to playing the way he's capable of.
Well, that's the hope. Again, it's, you know, there's always two sides to a story. There's the what we think of his play and what he thinks of his play. And you know, I guess you probably realize that we probably don't totally agree 100%. If we agreed 100%, he'd probably be back in the lineup, and this would have never happened. So we've just got to keep working together. I mean, what you said is absolutely correct. Kyle is a really good player, and you know, he's had some injuries this year. You know, whether he's been playing with the right people or if it's been any number of things, I mean, our expectations are a little bit higher than that, mostly from just production. I mean, we do talk about a lot of different things, but to me, the thing that we need right now from Kyle is production. I mean, he's always been a sound player defensively, so if he's a plus player and he produces, that should get us back on the same page.
So you have it right there from David Poile that was, you know, if you listen to him, he wouldn't have gone out of the lineup, and you listen to us, and that sounds like it's, you know, I'd say that it sounds like they're not seeing eye to eye.
Right.
And that's probably a concern,
right?
Because I don't think that you have any room for people in your organization that are kind of saying, whoa, 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 this is how I want to do things. And I still think they're going to need Kyle Turris. But can Kyle Turris survive on the fourth line without complaining?
And I don't know the answer to that. Nobody does. You know, maybe they do. I don't know. But I mean, the, you know, options aren't good. And we've dealt, I mean, you deal with these guys in life, you know, that it's never their fault. Somebody else has made me do it. Somebody else did it to me. Somebody else did whatever. And they're never going to be those guys to stand up and say, uh-oh, I messed that up. You know, sorry, but I'll get it fixed. And I'm not sure, you know, it sounds to me like they've got some disagreements about, you know, how he's playing, disagreements about who he's playing with, disagreements about what was his first complaint? It was about my style of play or whatever.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's been discussions about all that stuff. And they need to get those things rectified pretty quickly.
Well, I'm just worried that he's going to not enjoy being on the fourth line, but the team's going to be winning. And if the team's going to be winning, they're not going to change. What line do you change? You know, you're not going to put him on the second line right now. Sissons is killing it up there with Smith. So you're not going to do that. And then Bonino is finally gelling with Granlin, and Simmons had a goal last night, so you don't want to mess with that. So you almost have to look at Kyle Turris like you have to enjoy playing on the fourth line and playing fourth line minutes, and I just don't think that he's going to want to do that, even if the team is winning.
Then it's going to be a problem. You got to solve it some way.
What do you do?
I don't know.
If the player doesn't want to do it, if the player's going to complain about it, then there's really nothing you can do, right? You can't cut his money because he's guaranteed the $6 million a year. I don't know. I would tell you this. I'd be worried about it. I mean, I kind of already am worried, but I'd be even more worried about it. 615-737-1025. Okay, I've got in front of me Floyd's bracket and my bracket. For the NCAA tournament, we will reveal our Sweet 16, our Elite Eight, and our Final Four. How many teams do we have going to the Final Four? Do the Vols go to the Final Four in our brackets? What about Belmont? How far do they get? We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
804 career wins as a coach, but he's going to remember 805, maybe more than any of them, because he has just notched, in his 33 years of coaching, his first trip to the NCAA tournament.
This is an historic night for Belmont University and in our basketball program. You know, just 48 hours ago, we didn't know if we were going to be in this, and I didn't know if these two seniors were going to ever get to play in the NCAA tournament, and now they've got Belmont's first win, so it's a big night for us.
Rick Byrd and the Bruins, they take on Maryland. That game is tomorrow, probably sometime. It's the second Jacksonville game, so sometime around, I don't know, 2 o'clock or so. They'll be on, as will Tennessee on Friday when they play. So, Floyd, do you have Belmont winning the championship in your bracket?
Which bracket are they in? I have no clue. I don't even have Belmont on here, do I?
Do you have? I meant like winning the championship.
Oh, no.
Okay. I would figured you wouldn't. See, some of us aren't believers like I am. So I figure we go with each region with our Sweet 16 picks, and these are the ones that you have to stick to. I only filled out one bracket. I know you only filled out one bracket, but like a lot of people will fill out like 10 or 15 brackets, and they'll be like, well, one of my brackets had this team going there, and one of them had the...
Oh, so they can claim they've won no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, check bracket 34C.
Ian, do you have a bracket?
I prefer not to fill out brackets.
Why?
Because then this way you can just root for the chaos. You don't have to worry about your bracket. You just root for the underdog every time. You don't have to worry about it.
Aren't you a bull of fun? I mean, you know, what are you doing? Okay, let's go region by region with our picks. As we'll do the first Sweet 16 teams, so the teams that are right here down this. So, in fact, here, let me get your bracket. I'll circle what the teams I want you to read off so that way you know which ones I'm talking about. We start in the East Region, which I have starred right here. We start with the East Region Sweet 16 teams. So, Floyd, who do you have as the teams making it past the first weekend in the East Region in Washington, D.C.?
Which one's east again?
The one that I starred.
Where's the star? Oh, I see it. Okay. What do you want?
The four teams.
I have Duke, Liberty, LSU, Michigan State.
So you have Liberty going to the Sweet 16 over Mississippi State. We both have Michigan State. I have Mississippi State, and I have Belmont in the Sweet 16 because I think LSU is going to fall apart.
Okay.
Why are you such a believer in LSU?
The LSU's got the better team.
But they got a fake coach. They don't have their coach in there.
Maybe that could be it. And maybe they want to show the world that it doesn't matter.
Okay, go down to the West region. Out there, they'll be playing in Anaheim, California. Floyd, any surprises? What do you have in the Sweet 16
in the West region? Gonzaga, FSU, Texas Tech, Michigan.
Okay, I have three of those teams, except I have the Murray State Racers with Ja Morant knocking off Marcus Howard and Marquette in the first round and Florida State in the second round. So I have two Ohio Valley Conference teams in the Sweet 16 in Belmont and Murray State. I'm with you on Gonzaga. I'm with you on Texas Tech. And I'm with you on Michigan. So you're going full chalk in the Sweet 16, 1, 2, 3, 4, heading out to the West region.
What's chalk again?
Chalk is when the higher seeds all advance.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
So like in the divisional
round? I just went through and picked some teams. I got no clue who any of these guys
are. Nobody has any clue. Like an elephant at the zoo can pick better than like Billis. Like it's like proven. Okay, move it over to the right in the Midwest region. Who do you have in the Sweet 16?
Is that the top?
No, that's the bottom.
Bottom. I have Kentucky, Houston, Kansas, North Carolina.
I have the exact same team. So that is a full chalk. Other than Liberty, do you have any non-four seeds go into the Sweet 16?
Non-four seeds.
I'll explain that later. Okay.
Okay.
I've got North Carolina and Kansas. That'll be a big made-for-TV matchup. Then you've got Houston and Kentucky. Kentucky should blow them out. You have that in the Midwest region in Kansas City, which takes us to the South region. What do we think about the Vols? Do the Vols, how deep do we have them going? Floyd Reese, what do you have in the South region?
I have Virginia, Oregon, Villanova, and Tennessee.
I have the exact same Sweet 16 of Virginia, Oregon, Villanova, and Tennessee. So not a lot of difference between us. I've got Mississippi State. You've got Liberty. I've got Belmont. You've got LSU. I've got Murray State. You've got Florida State. And other than that, we're right there on the same page. Now we go to the Elite Eight.
So you're chalking it up too. Is that right?
Well, I got two OVC teams in there.
Okay.
So next thing you know, you're standing on the other side. You go into the Elite Eight.
You
got to
put your phone away. I can hear your phone.
Hey, at least I'm not like you and like holding it away. And I'm just,
I mean, you got it right there. You got to not pay attention to that thing.
So here you go. East Region Elite Eight. Who are the two teams in the East Region that make it to the Elite Eight?
East, is that the upper left-hand corner?
Yes, where it says East.
Duke and Michigan State.
Okay, I also have Duke and Michigan State. What about the West?
Gonzaga and Michigan.
I have Texas Tech. Chris Beard has done a really good job in his second year now at Texas Tech, coming from Stephen F. Austin, has done a really good job. I have Texas Tech beating Michigan, who I think is overrated, and I have them getting to the Elite Eight. What do you have in the Midwest region? Do we have a showdown of Kentucky versus North Carolina?
Kentucky, North Carolina.
I think everybody's picking Kentucky and North Carolina in that region. And in the South region in Louisville, do the Vols make it?
Tennessee and Virginia.
I have two upsets. I do have Virginia going to the South region. But I have Villanova, the sixth seed, knocking out Tennessee in the South region in the Sweet 16.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How can we talk about them being a Final Four team and you don't get them out of the Sweet 16?
They got Villanova, Jay Wright.
That's not the question. That's not the question. I mean, you're saying, oh, they're a Final Four team. I think they're going to make the Final Four. And yet, when it comes to this, don't get him out of 16.
Did I ever say I thought the Vols were going to make the Final Four?
Yes.
Ian, when did
Several times.
Did I ever say the Vols were going to make it to the Final Four?
It's possible, but you don't like Rick Barnes, so.
I don't trust Rick Barnes. That's the only reason I'm picking Villanova.
He's up for Coach of the Year,
Wright,
by the way.
Jay Wright is a better coach than Rick Barnes.
Is Jay Wright up for Coach of the Year?
I think he is.
I don't think he is.
He's only won it about 500 times.
Well, Barnes is up for Coach of the Year.
Are you questioning Jay Wright's credentials as a coach?
I have no clue who Jay Wright is.
He won the championship last year.
Ah, okay.
He's won the championship like 2 years before that, too.
Okay.
He's a really, really good coach. Okay. So the coach is the number one reason. I'm picking Villanova to beat Tennessee in the South region. That takes us to our Final Four pick.
So then you don't think that Tennessee is even a Elite Eight team?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I have Villanova.
All right.
Who do you have in the Final Four?
I have Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, and North Carolina.
Floyd has all four number one seeds advancing. In fact, Floyd has all number one and two seeds advancing to the Elite Eight. So not a single upset en route to the Elite Eight for Floyd. I have two of your teams. I have Duke and North Carolina. I'll take Villanova and Jay Wright to pull the surprise this year as defending national champions and get to the Final Four. And I'll take Texas Tech. Chris Beard has done a great job at Texas Tech, and he will be the next big-time coach at one of these schools. In fact, I wonder if Texas is waiting for Shaka Smart to lose in the NIT and then see how far Texas Tech goes, and then maybe Texas hires Chris Beard and Texas Tech. So Floyd's got Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, and North Carolina in the Final Four. I've got Duke, Texas Tech, Villanova, and North Carolina. Floyd, who do you have in the national championship game?
Duke and North Carolina.
And the winner is?
Duke.
I've got Duke and North Carolina, and the winner being Duke, too. Apparently, ESPN's brackets, they have all the data on all their brackets. I think it's like 30% are picking either Duke or Carolina.
Yeah, the truth is, this year's, there's not a lot of suspense in this. There's not a lot of...
You say that now, but what if Duke loses in the second round to VCU?
Yeah, then it just goes to pot. Then I don't care about any of it.
What do you mean?
Because if the best team's going to be gone, I'm done watching. I don't care about it. I want to see the best teams. And
Are you done watching the NFL playoffs if the number one seed gets knocked out at home in the divisional round?
No, but there's more than just one.
There's than one here. There's North Carolina. There's Kentucky.
Tennessee. There's more than one game. There's a bunch of games in the playoffs.
There's a bunch of games in this tournament.
Yes, but if Duke gets knocked out at the beginning, the rest of these teams are insignificant to me.
Why? They're real champions. The NFL had a fake NFC champion because of the officiating.
You tell me Duke's not the best team in the country?
I think Carolina's a good matchup.
You don't think? That's not the question. Is Duke the best team in the country?
Probably.
Okay. Rest my case.
Okay, so Floyd has the Vols going out in the Elite Eight. I have the Vols being upset in the Sweet 16 by Villanova. Here's my question. Will we be surprised if Tennessee gets to the Final Four? We're not picking Tennessee to get to the Final Four, but will we be surprised if they get to the Final Four? Plus, we'll take your calls. Your thoughts. Again, I've got Belmont to the Sweet 16. I've got Belmont to the Sweet 16. I've got Murray State to the Sweet 16. I've got Tennessee to the Sweet 16. But nobody goes any further than that. I just don't trust the coach. Speaking of brackets, the Game Bracket Challenge is back. Sign up and play for your chance to win great prizes. If you can create the perfect bracket, you could win $1 million. Now that all the teams have been selected, go to thegamenashville.com, fill out your bracket to compete for a chance to win great prizes. The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Sudden Service and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
The Vols are a really good, really experienced, really well-coached basketball team that got a lousy draw, having to face possibly Cincinnati in a second-round game in Columbus. I think Tennessee deserved better, but it's not going to happen for them in that game. A head-scratching end to an otherwise fantastic season in Knoxville.
Joe Lenardi off the top rope says he thinks Tennessee loses in the second round. By the way, can I say for the record, Joe Lunardi, we don't pay you. Now, I don't pay you anything, but we don't pay you, Joe Lunardi, to tell us who's going to win. We tell you to say who's going to be seated where. You, Jay Billis, and Dickie V, and those guys tell us who's going to win. You tell us where they're going to be playing. As if Dickie V's opinion matters more. It's awesome, baby. I tell you, what they're going to do, they're going to go in there, they're going to play defense. And you know I love a Rick Barnes coach team with a lot of defense. And they're going to go in there, baby, and they're going to play awesome, baby. It's going to be unbelievable. And you know what else the committee's going to think? How dumb they were to leave out Lipscomb, who plays in the same state as Tennessee. Thank you, Dickie V. That's what it's going to be about. But Lunardi has him out in the second round. Floyd, you've got him going out in the Elite Eight to Virginia. I have the Vols going out in the Sweet 16 to Villanova. Would you be stunned if the Vols got to the Final Four this year?
Stunned?
Yes. Like, would you be shocked? Like, if Belmont got to the Final Four, it would be like an epic level of shock, right? If Kentucky got to the Final Four, it wouldn't be a surprise. It would be, hey, they beat North Carolina, and that was probably a really good game, and Cal's done it again, and Kentucky's in the Final Four. If Tennessee got to the Final Four, knowing how they played in the SEC Championship game, which you didn't like, knowing how they've been kind of inconsistent with a lot of different guys at a lot of points in the year, and knowing the history of their coach, who had much better players at Texas and could only get to one Final Four, would you be shocked?
No, I think I would be, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? I mean, we've talked about it. I don't. The SEC game really soured me now. Not only that, I mean, there's been a couple of games, but that one really soured me. I can't fathom the possibility of that happening.
Of them playing like they played. In the
because of all the reasons that you get, you know, mm-hmm. Wow, it was too tired and emotional, and I can't buy into any of that.
So nobody I know has backed me up on that claim except Darren. Darren has kind of backed me on the emotion for Tennessee overriding them, and that'll be something that they won't have to deal with in the NCAA tournament. I think I'd be surprised if they got to the Final Four too. I mean, they look like a team that should go to the Final Four. I mean, they always tell you your guards are the things that drive you in March. And who's the best player on Tennessee's team? And he's arguably one of the best point guards, if not the best point guard in the country.
Probably.
And Jordan Bone.
Right.
I mean, Jordan Bone won them the Kentucky game. And they have that. And they always tell you, you know, hey, depth. Depth and the guy who comes up big when you don't expect it. And I think Tennessee has two guys, Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden, who could go off in one of these games and save the Vols along the way. Now, you know, Lamonte Turner could also shoot it too much and shoot them out of the game.
I think Bowden would have a chance. I'm not as high on Turner as you are.
Game-winning shot against Kentucky.
I think Bowden would come in as the sixth guy, and they've got six guys. That you would say, okay, we can continue to compete at this level. But I'm worrying about some of these other teams that have seven and eight guys. You know, that's where you get into trouble.
Like Belmont?
Like, yeah, whoever. I mean, there's a whole slew of them in this tournament.
And then the other part, as far as when you look at Tennessee, their draw, I disagree with Lunardi that the Vols have a tough draw. I think they've got a very easy draw. I just think they're going to choke against Villanova. They should beat Villanova. Villanova does not return a lot of their high-end championship guys. But, you know, but I just, it's the coach. The coach is the thing that bothers me. And I always love how you always laugh at me for being worried about Rick Barnes' coaching ability in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I mean, you heard the caller yesterday. I mean, he's had one number one seed, and they made it to the Final Four. He's had two number two seeds, and they made it to the Elite Eight. I mean, I don't see anything uncommon about that.
He is allergic to the white jersey in March. He is allergic to the white jersey. When his team is in the white home uniform, they lose. and that he needs to. He's just had too many good teams that he's taken into tournaments that he should have won games with. And you were Joe Rexroad yesterday who said, "Yeah, has this been a problem for him in his career and at Texas?" Yes, and I would certainly agree with that factor. I am kind of over the first four tonight. I don't care who wins Arizona State and who plays the other. Who's the other one other than Arizona?
St. John's, I think.
Yeah, who cares?
And this one, North Carolina Central and North Dakota State has tipped off.
Yeah, it has tipped off. Who cares?
Yes.
There is no reason St. John's should be in the NCAA tournament. I mean, there is no reason that they should be in that tournament. And so, you know what? I'm rooting for Arizona State tonight, but I'm probably not going to watch. You know, I'm not – Herm's not coaching the basketball team, Ian. But there's nothing there for me. Tomorrow we're going to be live at Bridgestone Arena. Preds are going to be playing Pittsburgh. Plus, we'll have the NCAA tournament. Floyd, how big of a game? I know that you're 2 years removed from the Stanley Cup final against Pittsburgh, so it's not the same as had this game been last year against Pittsburgh. But does there not feel like there's still a little juice against the Penguins, especially considering that they're a playoff team and you look like you're going to be a playoff team playing two games down the stretch here?
I think that's the juice right there. You've got two teams that you feel pretty good about making the playoffs. And because of that, I think they're kind of doing the same thing that we're doing. You know, they're kind of measuring themselves off, and when they get into this run, and we're a playoff team, and or think we are, and they think they are, and so, you know, this is another device. Let's see how good we really are. Good comparison. So it'd be interesting. Be a good game.
I mean, you hope it'll be a good game. You don't know it'll be a good game. What if Pittsburgh goes in there and blows their doors off like Game 5 of the Cup Final?
Then we're right back where we started.
We're throwing chairs?
Yeah.
Then it gets right back into that. By the way, winter classic tickets went on sale or are going on sale in April. The Predators just sent out a release about that. So there is that. That the winter classic logo has been announced and all of that. So tickets going on sale in April for the Winter Classic. I have no idea why they – this is just me. I have literally no idea why they had a Winter Classic press conference today. I have no idea why they did that.
I have no idea either.
Like, David Poyle has to fly down to Dallas to do a press conference in Dallas about the Winter Classic when, I mean, he's only got a team that's 2 weeks away from the playoffs that he's getting ready for. But instead, David Poyle needs to go down there and talk about a game in 9 months from now?
No idea. You got me.
Unbelievable. That's it for us. We're out of here. Preds Insiders coming up next. We're back tomorrow at 2 NCAA tournament. Get excited. Jared and the GM. We'll see you then.